So we're looking at precious things and special people. And, it seems to be automatic. Never mind, we'll sort it out somehow. So we've got a woman here who is counting her coins. Maybe she was a Middle Eastern woman. There we go. Maybe she was an older woman. There we go. She's counting her coins, and she's on her own apart from her cat. Very interested in what she's doing, maybe. And she likes to count them because it's all she's got. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Silly cat. Oh, they've gone all over the place. And the woman picks up her silver coins and starts again. But they've been scattered everywhere. The cat doesn't care. Cat's having fun. He's stretched out and gone to sleep. But she has to go searching. She counts her coins and she realizes there are only 9. Bother! One of them's missing. It can't be far. Perhaps under the rug. Or maybe it bounced into the fireplace. Or maybe it rolled into the garden. She even looks under the pots and the pans. She makes such a noise, but the cat stays asleep, purring her way through it. There it is, the missing coin. I found it. She's so happy, she runs and tells her neighbors the good news. And Jesus says, in the same way, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Well, Luke 15, which we're looking at, it's got lots of stories about lost and found. So we've had, what have we got? What stories has he got so far? We've seen the lost, what have we seen? The lost sheep, yes, and the lost, well, yeah, in the story, in the Jesus story, we've got the lost sheep and we've got the lost coin. And does anybody know what else gets lost in this story? I haven't got time to read it all. The sun, that's right. So 3 different types of things that gets lost and found. I wonder why Jesus told 3 stories about getting lost and found. Anyone got any ideas why Jesus told 3 stories and not just one or not just none? Why did you think he told 3? So many stories about lost things. Got any ideas? No one's got any ideas. You're allowed to have ideas. You're allowed to think. Got any ideas? Think why he told 3 stories and not just 1 story about being lost and being found. To make a point. It must be to make a point. It's so important. I want you to hear it 3 times. It's great when lost things get found. And maybe because it's so important that we're found by God. So one is about an animal, a sheep. One is about a silver coin. And one is about a person, a son. So what about the sheep? Well, sheep just wander off, don't they? They do that when they're not constantly watched. They just wander off. They find a little bit of food. They're very short-sighted. And they search some food and then they suddenly don't know where they are anymore. And the sheep in the story, Cecil, he just got lost, didn't he, by circumstances. He just got lost. And the coin. Well, was the coin responsible for getting lost? No. Things just get lost, don't they? You lose your keys, you lose your pee bag. Just gets lost. It was lost by chance or by accident. Or was it Hamish the cat's fault, maybe? And what about the son? How did he get lost? Well, anyone know why the son got lost? We haven't read the story, but anyone remember the story of the lost son? Why did he get lost? How did he get lost? Some adult will know. Yes. He did, didn't he? Yeah, he was greedy and he wanted to find a new life. And he went away from his father and he realized he was just in a place that was nothing. And he was lost in the end of it. So sometimes we're... I think it talks about different conditions that we have. Sometimes we're like the coin, it gets lost by chance. Other times we're like a sheep and we get lost because of our circumstances. But most of the time we're like the sun. We want to be independent of God and we lose our way and it's our own deliberate fault. Let's think about what these 3 stories have got in common. They all belonged The sheep was prized and loved by its shepherd. The silver coin was priceless to its owner. The son was precious to his father. They were all valuable and they were all significant. There was a relationship. And Jesus is teaching us something like this, that we belong to God. He is our creator. He has a purpose for our lives. He wants to have a relationship with us. Everybody is welcome in God's kingdom. What else have these three stories got in common? They were all lost. The sheep was 1 in 100, but was prized. However, when it was lost, it was helpless and useless. The coin was 1 in 10. It was priceless to that woman. Maybe it was all that she had in the world, but it was worthless when it was lost. The son was 1 of 2. The father's own flesh and blood, precious and loved, but vulnerable when he was lost. They were all lost. We can find ourselves lost so easily. We can feel lost in a relationship where we're misunderstood or taken for granted. We can feel lost at work when it's dispiriting or when it's unsatisfying. We can feel lost in unemployment or in retirement, uncertain what it's all about. Sometimes we can just feel alone, either lost in a crowd or just lost on our own. Sometimes we go astray. We're lost through neglecting our purpose in God or running away from our Maker, separated. We all get lost sometimes, from time to time. We lose our way and we need help to find our way home. They all belonged, they were special, they were all lost in some way, and they were all found. They were all found. The shepherd kept on searching and searching until he found his sheep. The lady kept on looking with her broom and her lazy cat until she found the coin. Sorry, there was actually no cat in the actual story. I just put that in. Take that out. No cat. Bye-bye. The father, he never gave up hoping until he saw his son again. And when he did, Jesus said, he was filled with compassion for him and he ran out to his son. In the Hebrew culture, a father would never run out in public with all his big skirts. And he even hiked up his skirts up to his knees and ran. It was shameful to do that in public. Because he was like the landowner, he was like the local important person. And he saw his son, and he didn't care about what anybody thought, and he ran because he had compassion on him. He loved him so much. And Jesus wants us to know how much God's Father heart is there for us. However we go astray, however we are lost, the Christian faith says God is still looking for us. And he's not far from each one of us. He longs to gather us back and to lead us home. He has good things to give us. And we are welcome at his table. We just need to keep accepting the invitation that he offers to us. Filled with compassion, God sends Jesus to find us and to rescue us and to bring us home. Well, there was one more thing that they all had in common. They were all celebrated. The shepherd calls his friends and neighbours, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep," verse 6. The lady calls her friends and neighbours, verse 9. "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." And the father says to his servants, "Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And do you see what Jesus is saying through all these stories? Our circumstances might be different. We're all unique, but we all belong to God. However, we all get lost. And God's will is that we get saved. We find our way home. And when we do, it's a cause for celebration. And he repeats that story 3 times. Because we keep getting lost. And we keep needing reminding to come home to God. And to make sure there's absolutely no doubt, Jesus repeats the application 3 times too. "I tell you in the same way, there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who don't need to repent. Verse 10, "In the same way, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents." Verse 32, We had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Notice how Jesus describes the condition of the person he's lost. He was dead. And now he's alive again. Now that's what it's like to be lost from God. That's what it is to be separated from God who's made us and who loves us. It's like being dead inside. And he doesn't want us to stay dead inside. He wants us to be alive inside. We need to keep coming back to him and asking for him to fill us. So here then is the application. Actually, it's in the first two verses, which we haven't looked at yet, of chapter 15. See, Jesus is telling this story to some very religious people. Do you see them? In verse 2, you've got the Pharisees and you've got the teachers of the law. They were very religious people. They would go to the synagogue and they would go to the temple and they were always there. And they knew the Bible, the Old Testament, inside out. And they see Jesus hanging about with all kinds of people, all kinds of riffraff, all kinds of people who aren't normally in the synagogues and who aren't normally in churches and who aren't normally in the temple. And they say, this fellow, Jesus, this fellow, he welcomes sinners and eats with them. And I think this one verse sums up the whole message of the Bible. Because this Jesus does welcome sinners and eat with them. Everyone is welcome. We're welcome not because of our goodness or because we're worthy or because we're faithful. We're welcome because God invites us. And he invites us even though we're sinners. Don't be afraid of that word sinner, by the way. Don't be afraid of that. It just means people who are lost. Is there anyone here who hasn't gone to bed at night and at some time and just lay there regretting things that you've said or things that you've done during the day? We all fall short of our own standards. And of course, we all fall short of God's standards. That's what sin means. We're falling short of what we're supposed to be. We fall short of what we could be. And the big message of the Christian faith is that whoever you are and whatever you've done, you're welcome at Jesus' table. God's actually looking for you. God thinks that his party is incomplete until you've arrived. An incomplete party until you've arrived. So that's why the shepherd in this story goes looking for the one lost sheep and then rejoices when it's found. God rejoices when we come to him and are found. He doesn't mind whether we're ready or not. He just wants to welcome us in. And that's why the reading from Ezekiel, God says, I myself will be their shepherd. I will be the one who is looking for you. I long to bring you to safe pastures. Even though life can sometimes be dark and dangerous and difficult, Jesus is the loving shepherd who is there for us, seeking us and bringing us home, offering acceptance and offering forgiveness. Well, I wonder if you can relate to one of the three stories and which one you relate to best. We're either far or near, like the sheep. Do you feel like you're far or near from God? We're either lost or found, like that coin. At the moment, do you feel found or do you feel lost? And we're either dead or alive, like that son. And God wants to give us life. Jesus came to save us and bring us home to the Father. And when we do, it's a cause for much celebration. And our celebration today is for all that God has done for us. And knowing that all that we experience now is just a foretaste of eternal life in heaven. I wonder if you know the story of the young girl who ran away from home at a very young age. She never told her parents where she was. She heard, they heard snippets about her life from time to time through the news and through things, but she tried to get rid of every trace so that they couldn't find her again. Because the problem is, when she decided that she wanted to come home again, she just didn't know what her parents would do, whether they'd welcome her home or whether they would, well, like that Cecil story, drag her by their hair or give her a beating. Would they have her back or would they reject her as she'd rejected them? She didn't feel she could go home. She wasn't sure what would happen when she did. She wrote them a letter and she told them that she'd rebelled against them. She said how sorry she was for all that she'd done. You don't have to have me back, she said. I have no right to come home. But I want to come home. And so I'm going to catch a train on a certain day that runs along the bottom of our garden. You know the one. If you'll have me home, put out something white on the linen line in the garden. Well, you can imagine, can't you, she jumped on that train, a little bit scared. And she took that journey home, wondering what she would find when she went past her old house. And she looked out of the window. And there was no white shirt or tea towel on the line at all. Instead, the whole garden was covered in white cloths. The whole garden. We want you back. And that's the welcome home. God in his love and in his generosity welcomes repentant sinners back. He wants us back. I'm going to say a prayer. Let me say a prayer. Loving God, thank you for welcoming us back to church today on this kind of start of a new term. Please help us to understand and receive your love. Help us to be welcoming to others. And when we're feeling lost or sad or lonely, when life is dark or difficult, when we are less than we should be and when we've gone astray, please be for us a wise and gentle shepherd. Please guide us home. And please lead us in the right paths through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.